Pastor Gary Connor welcomes you to this message from Christian Worship Center, located in Zillow, Washington. Christian Worship Center is shaping the lives of people and families through a vibrant church community and world-class educational program. Our passion is to impact our state, national, and worldwide community with the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. Get ready for this powerful message.
That kind of worship. I like getting into the presence of the Lord and letting Him just saturate us. Is that a good word? Saturate us. Let it rain. You get saturated when it rains on you, don't you? What a good imagery there. Just the Lord filling you, overflowing you, ministering to your heart, to your life. I think that's what God does. I have a difficult time accepting the idea that Jesus saves you and just leaves you, that's all you experience, just leaves you like you are. And I tend to think there's more, and I think God wants to do a lot of things in our lives continually, throughout our life. God wants to do wonderful things in us. We oftentimes are surprised when God ministers in a remarkable way. How many of you have just been stumbling along in your walk for Christ, and then God just does a great miracle in your life for no reason? Has He ever done that for you? Raise your hand if He's done that. Amen. And then you just kind of shook your head and said, what was that all about? And I didn't do anything to deserve that. I didn't pray my 50 hours a week, and I didn't, go and knock on 100 doors this week, that kind of thing. But God just loves us. It doesn't excuse us from our responsibility, but He does love us so much that He wants to continue to move and minister in our lives. In fact, that's His entire goal, is to move in us and move us along toward a particular place, a purpose that He has in mind for us. You know, I'm saddened to think, I don't know if this is true, I don't have any statistics to prove it, but I think there's a large number of Christian people who never achieve what God intended for them, the goals that He may have set for their lives. And there's a lot of reasons for that. Sometimes life throws things at you. It's not that God is surprised. We might be surprised. But life throws things at you that sometimes sidetracks you, and it takes a while for you to get back on track or whatever the situation might be. And so I think a lot of things contribute to us not always achieving what we want to achieve in the Lord and what we feel like He's wanting to do in our lives. And that has to do with a numerous amount of things. It's not just salvation, and it's not just going to church, and it's not just having fellowship. All of those things are very important, and without them, you're going to be a loser somewhere in your walk. You're going to miss out on something that God is wanting to do in your life. But I think God has a greater plan for every one of us. We say that a lot, but I'm also saddened to think of the idea that maybe there are people in our church or any other church that may be missing the purpose and the goal that God has for them. And it's possible. You know why I know that? You know why I know it's possible for you to miss what God has intended for you? Because you have a free will. You can choose today whom you will serve. Amen? And by the way, there are days I get up and I choose not to serve. Anybody with me? Come on, let's be honest. There's a couple of us that get up and I'm just not feeling like it. I just don't feel like, hey, I don't want to be the great Christian example for anybody. But then the Lord slaps me upside the head and says, get your act together, get a cup of coffee down, and get moving. Anybody else give me a witness on that one? Okay. So, you know, it's a common thing. I'm saddened to think of those possibilities, but I rejoice in what the Apostle Paul says, because I think he addresses this in the book of Philippians, and I want to share with you a little bit different perspective on a scripture I've used several times. I've preached a few baccalaureates here in Zilla over the years, and this has been one of my main scriptures that I've used, because you're talking to a group of young people who have no clue what they're about to enter into. You give them all these great speeches about how they have great potential, and that one day if they just follow their dream and they apply themselves and they be a good person and all, they'll arrive and they'll be successful and they'll achieve that great goal they have. And you know how much hogwash that really is? Huh? Because 90% of the people you talk to at any baccalaureate or any graduation are not going to achieve what they set out to achieve when they began their educational effort, either in high school or college. I may be wrong on the statistic, but a large number of them are never going to achieve that. A large number of them are going to settle and be satisfied with where they end up here after a year or so out of high school or out of college. Unfortunately, they had big dreams. They had great desires to achieve and accomplish things. Every one of us do. But unless you follow some simple rules, you'll never achieve that. And as a Christian, we should be keenly aware of that, because we'll never be solid, steadfast Christians if we don't follow a few of the rules that the Scripture has set down for us. And one of the great parts of this portion of Scripture that I want to read for you is Paul's effort to help the Philippians. Hey, a good church, solid church. In fact, I believe the Philippian church is more like our church. Or maybe I should put it the other way around. I think our church is kind of a lot like the Philippian church. We have the joy of the Lord. We experience that. Oh, yeah, we go through difficulties and all that. So do they. But we always remember that the joy of the Lord is what brings us strength and gives us victory. And we've learned to worship and get into the presence of God and let Him know where we are, and that we're aware that He has power to help us, and that we reach out and want to receive that into our lives. And so by faith, we approach the Lord. And He's never failed us. He's always ministered to us. So this church is a good church. So He's not reprimanding them. He's giving them some very high ideals and giving them a great baccalaureate speech, a great graduation speech in the third chapter of the book of Philippians. So let me read it for you. Many of you are already way ahead of me and already know the passage of Scripture that I want to read. I'm going to begin in the 13th verse of the third chapter, the book of Philippians. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Does anybody here feel like they have apprehended? If you've got it all together. Now, I know there's anybody, well, Kelly Clayton probably is the only one in the church that's got it all together. But how many times have you heard people, they talk to you, they act like they've got it all together, they know every answer for everything? People, stay away from those kind of people, all right? Because they don't know what they're talking about. Because nobody has apprehended or got it all together, all right? Brethren, even Paul says, I don't count myself as have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Let me pause for a second. Have you successfully forgotten those things that are behind? I think that's a principle. Forget those things that are behind. In other words, not the things that are positive that you've experienced, but the things that have been contributing to your defeat or your lack of success or your inability to be an overcomer, that kind of thing. Those things we get hung up on. Do you know that? We get hung up on those things. You get hung up on your failures. You get hung up on your sins. You get hung up on the times that you've not fulfilled what God has wanted in your life. Don't get hung up there. That's what he's saying. Leave those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, pressing forward. Verse 14, which is our main verse, I press toward the mark. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, 98% of you are not ministers in the conventional sense of being a pastor or on a staff at a church or anything of that nature, but you are ministers as far as God is concerned, and everybody kind of knows that. But there is a high calling that comes to everyone, and you don't have to be a preacher to have that high calling. I know he's using references here for us to understand. When you think of priesthood, when you think of ministers or people that preach the word or minister to you in counseling or advice or one of those areas, we tend to think of them and place them in a position of authority and ministry and think of them as being leaders and in leadership, and they are all of those things. But every one of us has a calling, a high calling. God has a high calling for us, and this is why we're convinced that every one of us have a purpose in the kingdom of God. God wants to lead us to that high place, that high calling. Many of us will not achieve that. I already know this. The statistics are there that many of us will not achieve that high calling. And I think maybe none of us will in some areas, in some ways. Let's be honest. This whole walk we walk for Christ is a lifelong thing. Amen? It takes us our whole lives to reach whatever level we can before we get out of here. But the truth of the matter is, some of us are not going to achieve that high calling place, that goal, that finish line, until we pass out of this world. And that may be a good thing for some of us. But those of us that God has put in our hearts to be goal-oriented, to achieve and accomplish things, and do things for the kingdom of God, and do some really serious things for God, that doesn't have to be like go out and be a missionary to Africa and win kajillions of people. That may not be exactly what it is. It may be and it may not be. But for the majority of us, it will not be that. But it will be to be an influence. God will call us, our high calling will be to be an influence for Christ and the kingdom until we die. Is that making sense? And so what you need to understand about this scripture, there is really, it's really kind of a metaphor. The word pressing or pressing into, and that the concept that he's talking about there is really metaphorical because he's referring to a race. Everybody knows about races. There's all kinds of races. The Olympics are about to come up, and we're going to view a lot of races on TV, whether you like it or not. But anyway, the point is, this is kind of a racing term. I'm pressing, in other words, I'm moving on forward and until I achieve a certain place or cross a finish line. Does that make any sense to you? And so when I press toward the mark, you get the vision of a guy running a race, and he's pressing and pressing and pressing. You've seen sprinters as they run, and they're leaning forward to the finish line, and they lean across as best they can to get the best time. You've seen that happen a lot of times on television as they review Olympics or other kinds of races. And so that's kind of what he's talking about. And he's giving us kind of a mental picture that there is a real place that we're supposed to, a finish line where we're supposed to cross it. We're supposed to achieve. We're supposed to accomplish something. Some of us will be satisfied where we are as Christians. Some of us don't want to make any more effort than to be, no, we're going to heaven, and that's fine. I understand that. That's a goal in and of itself. I'm going to make it to heaven. And the problem with that is, I'm going to just give you a little side note here. People who are satisfied with being saved and on their way to heaven are going to be frustrated along the way because they're the people who are going to vacillate between success and victory and failure. They're the people that are going to be up one day and down one day, up the next day and down the next day. They're not going to be consistent in their walk for Christ because they're satisfied. And I'll tell you why. When you're satisfied, you don't want to go through any trials. You don't want to make any waves. You don't want to do anything that's going to upset the apple cart or the canoe or whatever you're in. You don't want to have a problem with that. You just want to kind of make it through life without causing any trouble, not causing any attention. You know, if you make any efforts out there, the devil's going to catch your attention, or you're going to catch the attention of the devil, and he's going to do something to make your life upset, and you're going to be in a big upheaval or have a crisis. People who are satisfied with their Christian walk, I guarantee that's what you're going to go through. I guarantee it. Because you are not aggressive enough in your Christian walk to be a victorious person. You're not aggressive enough to take the enemy on when he attacks you. You just want to be like a turtle and sink your head into the shell. Hello? And so I don't think that's who Paul is referring to. I think he's referring to those people who wake up, get it, the light comes on, the bulb comes on, and they realize, I got to stop staying in this one position. I've got to keep moving. I've got to get to the finish line. I may have a broken leg. I've seen races where people have run and broken their leg and still crossed the line. I've seen Ironman things on television. You ever see that? They swim 5 miles and they bicycle 100 miles or 25 miles or whatever it is, and then they run 25 miles. I've seen people whose body functions have completely stopped, and yet they'll drag themselves somehow across the finish line. There's that much drive. There's that much passion. There's that much desire. They don't care anymore whether they're first place, last place. They don't care, but they've got to cross the finish line. Have you ever seen marathons like that where the winners have already run through? They've got a 4 minute mile pace, and they run 25 miles at a 4 mile race, a 4 minute mile race. Pace, I don't think I could ever reach that pace. The best I ever got was like about 7 or 8 minute a mile. And that was when I was a lot younger and I was in shape and I was running every day and so on. And there's a lot of preparation and endurance you've got to build up in your body to do those kinds of things. But I've watched these people. Something happens inside them. It doesn't matter any longer if they win, but they've got to cross the finish line. Somewhere in our light bulb experience for Christ, we've got to realize that's what he's really calling us to. That is the high calling, for you to finish regardless. You know, the Lord is less concerned at how successfully you cross the finish line as much as He is that you do cross the finish line. And so when Paul is talking to the church and he's telling them, you know, this is what I don't got it all together. I'm still got some flaws, some problems, some temptations, some weaknesses. I haven't apprehended everything. I have been apprehended by Christ. He's got a hold on me. Have you ever wondered people that have given their life to Christ and they've asked Him to come into their life and they're really radically changed? Have you ever wondered about them when you see them begin to not be as enthusiastic about Christ? You ever wonder about that? Ever wonder about these people? It's kind of people that don't realize that this is a long-term experience. This is not just a quick sprint. This is a long marathon experience that you walk in Christ. He saves you for a reason. The reason is He saves you to redeem you, to make you one of His own, to give you a citizenship in the kingdom, all that, give you eternal life, wash you white as snow. All of that's true. But do you think He does that just so you can be a good person, just so you can be a churchy person, a religious person? You think He does that? No, He does that because He has something in mind for you. And it's not always ministry, it's not always missionary, it's not always preacher. That's not it. But He wants Christian people to be successful in life, and He's got a goal for them. And if you never achieve that, then you miss out on a lot of the great rewards you learn along the way. And one of the ways that God teaches us is developing endurance in us, the ability to make the run. And the preparation and all those things that God does in us, that's part of what God loves doing in our lives. What saddens Him saddens me, and I think it saddens anybody who doesn't achieve for Christ, is that we somehow get sidetracked. That's unfortunate, isn't it? I've watched people, I watched this one particular race where these ladies were running. I forget the distance of the race, but as they were running, the runners, you know how they all try to get into that one lane after they go so far, they all try to get in that one lane, and one of the ladies stepped on the heel of the other lady, and she fell down. Maybe you remember this pretty famous race, and she fell down, and that sidetracking, that incident, it wasn't her fault, it was something that happened to her, it was unfortunate, she stumbled, but she stumbled and lost enough time where she could not win the race. And then I've seen other races where they were running, and there were two teammates in this race, and one of his teammates fell down. This guy stopped running, went back and got his teammate up and made sure he was all right. Then he went on to run, and he won the race because of determination. But he wanted to make sure his teammate was all right. Are you beginning to get the picture now of what God expects of us as those who run together? Let me tell you what. If you didn't like your teammate, you ain't going to stop and see that he's all right. Am I right? That's why Jesus Christ said you'll be known because you have what? Love one for another. You're a teammate. You're someone who presses toward the mark with others who are pressing toward the mark. And when some stumble, we stop to help them try to make it to the mark. We've got the drive. We're not quitting. We're not gonna stop until we do cross the finish line. That's what Paul's talking about. What characteristics are involved in that are tremendous, and they probably fill a volume of books of how Christian people have demonstrated that. Stories of great Christian success stories, how they have done great and awesome things for the kingdom of God. You and I need to understand a couple of things. We need specific power of God in our lives for specific moments in our lives. Paul puts it this way, the grace of God is sufficient for you. Jesus says it similarly as well. What he's talking about is whatever you're going through, there's great grace specific to that particular issue in your life. And so you don't need certain grace if you're not going through certain things. Am I making sense? And so whatever it is that we're called to do, there's a goal, there's a finish line, it's ahead of us. But what we have to experience going from this point to get across that line, we have no idea about it. We have no clue. I often have talked about in our church, you know, God has a purpose, God has a reason, God has a will for your life. invariably, every time I say that, somebody comes up to me and says, I don't know what the will of God is for my life. I don't know what God wants to do with my life. You know what that really says to me? That says to me that somewhere, something happened in the race. Somebody stepped on their foot. Somehow they tripped. Somehow something has happened. Because I want you to know something. God clearly wants you to know what your purpose is in the kingdom, what he has planned in your life. Now, it may not be Billy Graham. That may not be it. It may be to just be the great grandma you can be, the best grandma on the planet. It may be the best parent on the planet, the best young person, the best whatever. But God's goal is for you is always going to be a high calling, never a low calling. Say, we'll accept a low calling because there's no great demand on people in a low calling. But God is calling us to a high calling in Christ. And there's a reward there. There is a great thing. There's a great reward in that high calling. But if we're reward conscious only, we miss what God is really doing in us because all we got on our mind is getting the prize. Oh, it's good to be oriented that way, goal-oriented. Know that if you come in, you're going to get the prize. That's fine. That's fine. But if that's all you're focusing on is just the prize, you miss what's happening in the process. God has a great process going on. Some of us have been successful in understanding that. The light has come on, and I got to realize that this is a lifelong decision and commitment. And that it is going to require something of me. Salvation is free. Eternal life free. You're going to heaven, that's all free. But to live successfully, I just don't like living unsuccessfully. I don't like living in a way that you don't love life, that you're not excited about every day that God has given you to experience. I don't like living that way. I've been in situations where I've been discouraged, but somehow I get out of that. Somehow the Lord has helped me be the kind of person that just does not like being discouraged. And so I want to get out of that. I want to know how to get out of that. I have that kind of experience. I don't want to be around negative people. They bring you down. I don't want to be around people that point out every flaw I've got because they'll bring you down. I got flaws. You don't have to tell me about them. I know about them. I want to be around people that are thinking positive about where we're going as a church, where we're going as Christian people, and the goal and the calling that God has given us as a group of people. First of all, I know that we have got to unify. We have got to run as a teammate. I can't let my teammate fall and not see that he's all right and that he'll be able to continue and at least cross. He may not win the race, but he'll cross the finish line and then proceed on with my race. I'm not going to leave one behind. Now, the tough thing is when people stumble and fall, and when you go to try to help them up, they bite you. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You ever experienced that? You try to help a brother that stumbled, try to encourage him, and they lash out at you like you're the one that caused them to do that. You know what's bad about being a preacher? I mean, there's a lot of bad things, but there's a lot of good things. But one of the bad things about being a preacher is people that want to blame God for something will blame the preacher. Why? Because they can get a hold of his throat. You know what I'm saying? They can. It's touchable. You can touch the pastor. Well, don't blame God. Just blame the pastor. Well, you're really mad at God, but you're blaming the pastor. Look, folks, I didn't cause you to sin. I'm not the one that threw the temptation out there. I'm not the one that threw some temptation out in front of your weakness. That was the devil. Pastors are not devils. We may look like them, but anyway. So I think Paul, I don't know how I even got off on that, pardon me, but there's a Greek word, it's called dioko, and it speaks toward this whole term, this idea that there's a finish line, and in the midst of that, it also talks about the preparation that's necessary. It implies the determination, it implies the preparation, and I think there's four rules of preparation. You may not agree with me on these rules, but I'm going to tell you what I think each Christian needs to do if he wants to be successful and he wants to be progressive in his Christian walk. And it's going to sound as if I'm talking about being satisfied. I'm not. or just wanting to stay at whatever level you're at without causing any waves. And I'm not. I'm going to give you four rules, and then I'm going to give you the last one, the fifth rule, that I think will help encourage you. But I want you to understand something. So the person next to you doesn't hear, I'm going to kind of whisper like, okay? So the person next to you doesn't hear this. You are weak. Weak. That wasn't loud enough. You are weak. Everyone is weak. There are areas in my life where I'm weak. Hello? Nobody wants to raise their hand on that one, do they? No. That's what I think you're out of your mind. I'm a strong Christian. Well, okay. Every one of us, maybe this is a better way to put it. Every one of us has a weakness, at least one, but we have a weakness. There are some things that'll cause us to turn aside. See, that's kind of the idea of this diakos. The idea is that you set your mind on the goal and you let nothing distract you till you finish the cross or cross the finish line. That's the concept, the idea. But how often do we turn aside in the race? And that's kind of what he's talking about. I have an apprehension. There's a reason I have an apprehension, because I have some weaknesses that I have to struggle with every day. I have to work. And there's four rules that I think you should do to deal with the weakness. To deal with your weakness. Now, before I share them with you, I want to tell you one other thing. We who are weak will never overcome our weakness if we love our weakness. You still with me? We'll never overcome it. We'll never change it. We'll never get deliverance from God. How many times have you heard people get delivered from something that was a bondage to them? Hello? You still with me? Only to have them digress and go right back to it after they've been delivered. Has anybody ever heard of that? Maybe some of you have experienced it. I don't know. Maybe we've all experienced it. You'll never overcome it as long as you love it. Wow. Why? Because from the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. Well, from the abundance of your heart, your body acts. You do what's in your heart. Thus, my irrefutable truth of life, you will do what you want to do or love to do. Amen? So Paul is addressing that. There's a higher calling. God wants higher. He wants better of us. And as long as we're satisfied here, we'll never achieve that goal. And I wonder if we'll cross the finish line. Are you still with me? Let me give you the rules. First of all, in addressing your weakness, you need to understand something. First of all, the first rule is insulate. Insulate. Put something between you and your weakness. You know what insulation is. I don't have to go all that explanation. The best way to protect yourself from your weakness is to get as far away from it as you can. Am I making sense now? Insulate. Put something between you and your weakness. Folks, I've got weaknesses. I try to put things between me and my weaknesses. There are things that I do and things that I don't do because I know I'm weak, so I put some distance between me and them. Hello? I go to 7-Eleven for one reason. Well, a couple reasons. Chili and cheese. Okay. I love their coffee and I love all the ingredients you can pour in there and you walk out of there with a cup of coffee. You can't go by there and not pay. There's magazines down there. There's other magazines around there. I don't know if you know this or not, but all good healthy men are visual. That's why they can sell millions and millions and millions of those magazines. In fact, they've even bypassed that and gone straight to just putting it on your internet so you can just get it anytime, anywhere you want to. But I try to avoid those things but let me tell you what, it's hard to find a hot rod magazine sometimes because some of the magazines you got to watch out for. I just want to look at the engine. I mean the real engine. I don't want to look at the girl sitting on top of the car. I don't care about her. I want to see the car. That's why I got the Hot Rod magazine.
So put some distance between you and your weakness. Don't tell me you don't know what your weakness is. You know what your weakness is. It's that thing that so easily besets you. It's that thing that while you're running the race, you get sidetracked. Amen? It's that thing that you pray about down here, but you don't say about. Brother Connor, I'm going through something. Would you just pray for me? What were you going through? Oh, that's a personal thing. Just pray for me. It's a personal thing, all right. You got a sin you need to deal with, and I don't mind praying for you. I'll pray for you, but all the 30 weight oil I slap on your forehead and pray for you is going to do no good because you don't got no insulation between you and your weakness. The reason you don't apprehend is because you don't have no insulation between you and your weakness. Good rule. Keep something between you and your weakness. Then, I think, isolate yourself. Put yourself in a position that is not only distant from your weakness, but put yourself in a position where your weakness can't get to you. Hello? Keep some distance between you and the weakness, but also put yourself in a place where the weakness cannot get to you. So if you use the internet, stay off those channels. Stay out of those chat rooms. Stay away from those places that you can go to. I know, hey, don't get me wrong. I know that you can hit something and just be saying, some simple, innocent word and suddenly something flashes at you on the screen. I understand that. You didn't intend to look at that. That's a wholly, completely different story, entirely different story. I'm talking about knowing that site and just going by it on the way to another site. You ain't lying to anybody but yourself. Am I making sense? And so isolate yourself. Don't allow yourself to let the weakness come to you. I think that's a pretty good rule. Because I think you need to separate yourself from anything that endangers your success of crossing the finish line. Third thing, this don't sound good, but in the end you'll understand that it is good. Isolate yourself, barricade yourself if you have to. You've got to come to the conclusion that there are things that are bad for you. And they're going to hinder your race. They're going to hinder you crossing the... Build whatever wall you've got to build to keep it out. Distance from? Isolate. Build a barrier if you have to. Barricade yourself in to prevent that weakness from taking over your life. That doesn't sound very progressive. How can you be successful? How can you run a race when you got a barricade around you? Folks, you can run a race with a barricade around you. It's mental, spiritual. You know that. I'm not talking literally. Why? So that you can defend your position. If I've insulated myself from my weakness, I've isolated it so it can't get to me. Now I've built a barricade here. Now I can defend myself from a defendable position against my weakness. Why? Because he's got to go through that insulation and that barrier to try to get to me. Now I can defend myself. Have you ever been in weakness and failed the Lord and had to come back and pray and ask God to forgive you and help you again and turn that over and let him wash you again with the blood of Jesus Christ? I know those are figurative terms, but to do that spiritual thing in you to renew you and get you back on track, get you undistracted and back in the race where you're supposed to be. Do you remember what you sensed, what you felt like when you stepped up from the altar and you felt like Jesus had forgiven you and cleansed you again? Do you know how you felt? You felt strong again. You thought about that weakness and it was not an enticement at that moment to you. But if you don't have a position to defend yourself, have built sufficient safeguards in your life to keep it from getting to you and keep you from getting to it. See, a barrier works two ways, doesn't it? If you barricade yourself in, it can't get in, but you can't get out to it either. So you're giving yourself more insurance that that weakness is not going to overtake you. You've got to, is this making any sense? You've got to be proactive toward your weakness. You overcome it by taking charge of your life. You see, there's a very wrong thinking First of all, I mentioned a moment ago about baccalaureates, where you talk to these young students and you're telling them, "Man, you got you go conquer the world. You're the next generation of Americans. You're the ones that are going to stand for freedom." I wouldn't elect a single kid coming out of our college today, our colleges today. Well, we did, and look what happened to us. Harvard. That's all Harvard's got to offer us? The problem lies in this. Most people don't realize their potential in a positive, good way. They don't. They just don't. And so when I'm talking to a high school class and I'm telling them, I give them some real practical stuff. I have a whole list of things that I think every young person graduating from high school should know. First of all, work. It won't kill you. Work is an honorable thing. It's an honorable thing to work. And I don't care if you're working at McDonald's or on the farms or in an engineer's office, an architect, or if you're a doctor, it don't matter to me. You need to work. Work is honorable. And then I got a whole other list, and you don't need to hear that whole baccalaureate again. But my point is this. If we don't recognize that it takes personal focus, ambition, and effort, and clear direction, we're never going to cross the finish line. And at some point when we get distracted, we're going to get happy there, and we'll never go any further. We'll never achieve it. I gave up a few dreams when I became a Christian. I think it was a beneficial to me. I wanted to be an Air Force pilot. My dad was in the Navy, and he encouraged me when I was young. And getting good grades was not a problem for me. I could get good grades. That was easy. So I had that part of it. And there were other things you had to do. You had to get involved in a lot of things. And you can, you can get an appointment. I understand now. If you become an Eagle Scout, you have a great chance of getting an appointment to one of the academies. But I wanted to go to Annapolis, the Naval Academy, and I wanted to be an air pilot. I wanted to fly on and off them aircraft carriers. I could think of nothing more awesome than sitting in one of those jets, just kicking the afterburner and just ripping off the deck of that ship. I thought, man, that would be just so awesome. And to know you're flying like 600 miles an hour and it did the thing in my heart. You know what I'm saying? Just to unload the weaponry on one of those things would just be unbelievable. Anyway, I gave up that goal when I became a Christian. Actually, I gave up that goal to become an officer in the Navy a little time before that because I got sidetracked. I kept my grades up. That wasn't a problem, but I got sidetracked. I got sidetracked with things. Got sidetracked with people. And you can use your imagination in there. I don't care. I'm not going to tell you. I got sidetracked. I lost my goal, I lost my vision, I lost my desire, I lost my passion because I got happy where I was at. I was happy. I was getting good grades. I made all the teachers stay off my back. And I was just enjoying the social life, man, and just having a great time. But I never got back on track. And so I gave that up at some point there, but I didn't realize it mentally and consciously that I'd given up on that goal until I became a Christian. God gave me a new goal. God put new purposes in my heart, new reason for living, new passion for life, new hunger for the things that God could provide. A whole different thing. I was a brand new creature, brand new person. But I remember looking back and thinking, you know, I could have been that. If I would have just stayed on track. How many of us sitting here this morning had a great dream, a great goal? Maybe it was one that God gave you even. And you haven't arrived because you didn't put safeguards to help you keep focus on where you were going. Then you got happy and satisfied where you were at, saw no reason to move from that position. You see, success in any area, especially living for Christ, requires effort, energy, and commitment. If you never make an effort, somebody was telling me, so we were talking about someone else, who I think it was Rick Dillman this weekend was telling me, a famous philosopher, I think it was his son-in-law Aaron, told him, "Dad, you can't steer a parked car."
I thought, man, that's wisdom, Rick. Where'd that come from? It's true. That car's not moving. You can't steer. Oh, you can maybe turn the wheels, but it ain't move. It ain't going anywhere. You can't steer parked car. If you're not pressing, you're parked. If you're not in the race, you're parked. God can't steer you. Why? Because you're happy, satisfied where you're at. So we don't ever want to invest in ourselves. We don't want to make the effort to put forth the energy to break out of this that we can't seem to overcome. Well, first of all, we didn't put the safeguards in place. But third of all, we never exerted any energy to do it. I love those people. God told me this. God told me He was going to make me into a great preacher and give me a great ministry. So I'm just going to sit right here and wait till God brings it to pass. How many people have you heard talk like that? God promised me this minute. God was going to do this. And if God promised it, He's going to bring it to pass. By faith in Jesus, He's going to bring it to pass. Oh, Lord, I bless Your name for what You're about to do in me. And never make an ounce of effort to go or do or invest in yourself in the direction that you feel like God has called you to do. Now, He may not call you to be a preacher, but I'm going to tell you, if He did call you to be a preacher, it might be a smart thing. Just a thought. I might be wrong. It might be a smart thing to go to college. Might be a smart thing maybe go to seminary. I don't think education alone is the answer, but it might be good if you had something to, in here that can come out of here.
That's right. That's good, Pastor.
Amen?
Yes, sir.
Some kind of knowledge of the Scripture and some kind of understanding. And where do you get that? Well, you get that at places where they teach that stuff. It's called Bible college or seminary. That's where you go to do that. Now, if He called you to be an architect, let me tell you what, you don't just sit down here and wait for God to put architect in your brain.
That's right.
Oh, suddenly God's going to make me an architect. Okay, I'm going to start designing things. You don't even know the first thing about designing anything. Why? Because you didn't invest in yourself. God expects you to at least move so He can steer you. Amen? Oh, Pastor, you're just getting too personal. Okay, barrier for defense. Then the fourth rule is defend yourself. Be active in defending yourself against your weakness or anyone who would tempt you into that weakness. Defend yourself. Be active about it. Defense is not just sitting there with a barrier and insulation and distance. It's not just sitting there and not being proactive. You've got to be proactive if you're going to be a Christian. There's no such thing as a passive Christian. I just don't believe that. At the very minimum, you're fighting the enemy in prayer and intercession because you're begging God to get the devil off of you. Hello? So you're at least proactive. And that's so make a proactive defense. And the last one I want to give to you, and I'm going to have to blast this at you fast, so hang on. After you've got all those barriers and all of those safeguards in place so that you can run this race without being distracted or sidetracked, it might be good for you to go then on the offense. See, you can't go on the offense unless you've got these other things in place. Hello. Oh, that's what that was. Did anybody hear that? Did anybody know what that is? You guys don't even know what that was. What was that? Oh, that was the oil. Thank you. You can't insulate, isolate, build a barrier. You can't do any of those things and be successful unless you're going to come to a point where you're going to be proactive in the point of being taking the offense. Hey, all you football players know the best defense anyway, don't you? It's what? It's a good quarterback at about $14 million a year. That's what it is. Amen?
As long as he's healthy.
Yeah, as long as he's healthy, right. That's right. That's right. Okay. When you go on the offense, but Pastor, I don't know what God wants me to do. Well, let me tell you something that God wants you to do. He wants you to live right. He wants you to be a good person. He wants you to be a faithful follower. He wants you to be a committed
a steward of your finances. He wants you to be committed to a body of believers. We know that's true, don't we? Is that not true? Does he not want you to go to church and mingle with other Christian people and fellowship with other Christian people? Is that what he wants? Well, that, if you know that, we'll do that. And once you do that, then God will show you the next turn to make. Am I making sense? Being on the offense is at least being moving so that God can guide you and he can direct you and show you where he wants you to go. But you know some things that God already wants you to do. You know, our church, I'm just giving my church, all churches to some degree do this, but I know ours best, so I tell you, we have all kinds of things available for people in this church to take advantage of, to invest in themselves, to exert a little bit of energy and a little bit of determination and a little bit of keeping the focus to invest in themselves. We have seniors group, we have family fellowship, we have Bible study, ladies Bible study, we have men's Bible study on Saturdays. We have men gathering here at about 3 o'clock on Friday afternoons and praying for the church and the pastor, and actually we're praying for you. Did you know that? We're praying for you that God would touch you and bless you and minister to you today. That's what they're doing on Friday. There's all kinds of things available. We're having a God's Dream for Your Marriage on Wednesday nights at my home, soon moving to Thursdays in June, but we have all these things available. If you're having trouble in finances, we got a financial class that we do periodically that you can get involved. We're about to start Family Life in our church, and we're going to do that probably at least once a year, maybe twice a year. So we have all these things available. So don't tell me how bad your marriage is. Don't tell me how bad your walk with Christ is. Don't tell me how you don't know people in the church. Don't give me that baloney. All these things are available, and if you're not doing it, don't come to me and tell me why you have problems. Because you're behind your barrier, and that's where you're comfortable, and you don't want to get outside of it. Pastor, you are the meanest man I have ever seen in my life. I thought you wanted to encourage people. I am encouraging you. Get involved. Press to the mark. Run the race. Cross the line. That's what I'm saying. But you can't do it in a parked car. So if you don't know your God's call for your life, what your high calling is, do what you know to do until God shows you what else to do. But if you know your goals, then you can at least begin to make your efforts effective in your life and become offensive instead of always defensive. Reject other goals. You see, knowing God's goal is always going to be a revelatory thing. Hello? Don't you love that word? A revelatory thing, a revelation. Yeah, it is, because you don't know nothing and he's got to show it to you. And once he shows it to you, then you know it, and it's a great revelation, and now he knows. So God will show his goals to you. He will, but you got to get in motion. Know your goal. What is it that you love to do in relationship to Jesus Christ? Do you love to pray? Do you love to share Christ? Do you love to study his word? Do you love going to church and fellowship? Do you like going to potluck dinners? What is it you love to do for Christ? What is it you love to do as a Christian? What is it about Christ, living for Christ, that you love to do? Well, do it. Do more of it. And let God guide you and lead you. And reject other people's goals for you. You see, I can come down the aisle here and tell you exactly what I think God wants you to do. People that do that, you need to just avoid them. Because most people are going to tell you what their agenda is for your life. You need to find out from God himself what his agenda is for your life. I'm not trying to tell you, you got to do this, this, and this. I'm just trying to tell you, you got to be involved in the kingdom work. You got to be involved in that. You got to do something for Christ. He has a goal for you, and he wants to release that through you. I'm going to close in 1 minute. So reject other people's agenda. Stay focused. Don't waver. Don't waver. A double-minded man is unstable in all of it. A wavering man is unstable in all of his ways. You can't. If you can't trust him in the kingdom, you can't trust him. Sometimes
God will let you stay behind the barrier till you finally turn the light bulb on and see that he's not going to do anything in your life until you start becoming offensive in your actions for him. Here it is. Last concluding points. Invest in yourself. I've already hit on that. Prepare for the race. Get some stamina in you. Get some boldness in you. Get some strength in you. Get the power of God. Press for the mark, but you got to have the power of God. Get in the race. Keep your eyes on the finish line. A lot of people tell you, hey, it's your, you know, baccalaureates and all that. We try to tell these graduates, hey, get yourself a good job. Get your good education. Find yourself a good job. That's well and good. Believe me, I think you should all do that because everybody's got to eat. Amen? Got to eat. You got to have a job. Got to have an income. Got to do that to eat. See, one of the things I found out early in my life when I was able to understand money, does anybody understand money a little bit? First thing I learned is if I gave this guy this coin, I'd get 5 sticks of bubble gum. Oh, good trade. Little piece of metal I give to him and I get 5 little sticks of bubble gum. I love the bubble gum. Love it. So I learned that later on when my mom and dad broke my plate and burned my chair and I was on my own, I learned you got to have some of that coin to eat. And so it didn't take me long to figure out, man, I need a vocation. I need a way to make money. But if that's my whole focus, if I went to school, invested in myself and all of this just to get a good job so I can make a lot of money, buy a lot of things, I missed the whole boat. You see, a career is great, but it's not great for Christians if that's your focus. I'll just use this as an example to close with. If career is your focus, if that's how you get this drive to get this great education, get you a great job, that's all good, that's wonderful. Get you a good job, get you one that pays 6 figures a year. I'll even lay hands on you and pray for you. I'll even say, God bless you, wonderful. But as a Christian, if that's your only goal is to make money, you're going to be an empty, 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 shallow, shallow Christian that can't handle the stresses of life. And my guess is, just my guess is, you won't, at the end of every year when you fill out your tax report and all of that, you're going to find out you've got nothing to show for all the money you made. Because you didn't purpose your career. You didn't purpose your career for the one who's the most important in your life. Are you still with me? I know some of you have already gone to sleep, but we'll have the ushers wake up just before we quit. It should be a facilitator. I'm just using this as an example because there are a lot of other areas in your life that's true. It's a facilitator for what? For God's purposes in your life. You got to eat, got to have shelter, got to have clothes. But all of that's meaningless if it's not focused on the kingdom of God and the finish line. This facilitates me in being a good Christian. This helps me be a good Christian. It helps me build the kingdom. It helps me do my part in fellowship. It helps me to do my part in supporting the ministries and all those kinds of things. I just use that as an example because we get sidetracked with everything. And one of the biggest things we get sidetracked is our careers. It becomes the most important focus. It's all we live for. It's all that takes up most of our time. We drive. I can't be to church this Sunday. I got a little extra I got to do to get caught so that Monday will be easier. I can't go to men's meeting on Saturday because I got to work Saturday morning because if I do, it'll make Monday morning easier. You know how I know that's true? Because I went through all this. Facilitator. The things around you should help facilitate you in living a better Christian walk and finishing the race. Amen? What's God saying to us? I'd like you to stand at this point. I want to share one last thought and then we're closing. I've been sharing last thoughts for 10 minutes.
Hallelujah.
I heard a word from the Lord this morning and an interpretation of it that talked about going deeper into other places that God had prepared, deeper places, higher places. Could hardly hear listen to that without my jaw dropping. This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is exactly what God's speaking to me about. If you're not in the race, get in the race. If you're hiding behind the barrier that you've built, okay, but that's fine. Defend, but eventually you've got to come on the offense and do something positive.
If you do that, then that barrier will still be there to keep you away from your weakness. And you don't have to run with a weight on you. How many of us are running with weights on us? I can't get there, Pastor, because I got this weight on me. Paul says, lay aside every weight. Lay it aside. That's the barrier, the distance, the insulation. Get it aside. Get that barrier or that weight behind the barrier. Now, you can run, you can testify, you can share Christ, you can be a Christian right out in public, and you can let them see you. Why? Because you've got no weight there for them to see. Some weakness. You know why Christians are called hypocrites? Because they drag weights around. Because the people have seen you out there when you were hypocriting. Hello? I think that's a new word. I like that. Lay that aside. It's not worth it. It's just not worth it. You don't need it. And do something smart. Invest in yourself. Invest in your walk. Invest in your family. Invest in your wife. Invest in your church. Invest in things that are going to produce positive spiritual things in your life. If you don't got positive spiritual things in your life, the conclusion is simple. You're not investing in those areas in your life. We want revival. We want to see the manifestations of God. We can't see the manifestations of God because we're dragging weights around and God's got to deal with the weights. I can't share Christ because I failed him last week. Repent, get it out of your life, get the weight away from you. Then what do you test? You know, I failed the Lord and he delivered me and restored me. Amen? Think about who you are. You're not a low calling people. God has called you to a high calling. You know, I don't want to put words in young people's mouths, but when I was their age, of course, I just looked at guys that were 30. You're looking at a guy that's 60 something. But I'd look at a guy 30 years old, and I thought he was about to die. This guy's so old, he's croaking, man. He's only 30 years old. Then when I got to be 30, I'm thinking, oh, man, I'm glad they don't croak at 30, you know. But I can just read the minds of some young people. Maybe not ours, of course, because ours are perfect. But just read their mind. You stupid old man. You don't know a thing about what you're talking about. I got this world under control. I know where it's at. I have apprehended. Au contraire. Yeah. You are about to have a rude awakening. Because everything this stupid old man is saying is true. You got to stay in the race. Your friends, your everything is not more important than making it to heaven.
That's right.
Not more important than crossing the finish line. I don't care if I'm young people, old people. We got to cross the line. I'll stop and help drag you. But we're going across the line.
Amen.
God has called us to this. And I believe that. And I try to live that way. And I think the word of the Lord is saying to us today, I want to use you so desperately. So desperately. Would you just lay aside the weights? Because you're so concerned about the weight that you're dragging that you can't see me who can deliver you from all of that. I've given you some rules, simple stuff. It's up to you. It's not that hard. It's not. Unless you love it. And then we can't give you any advice. But God loves you more than you'll ever understand. And will be patiently waiting to help you remove the weights, get back in the race, and doing something of a high calling in Christ Jesus. It's not what you think about yourself.
It's how awesome God thinks about you. Are you willing to let Him help you insulate, isolate, all that kind of stuff? And let Him do in you what He has longed to do. Some people don't understand, so they don't experience. That's not who I'm talking to. I'm talking about people who know and are not. I think God wants to speak to our hearts this morning right now. And I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then we'll close. We'll close with this prayer. Father, I could keep on going on and on and on and on. Because I've already made these stumbling, and I've already failed in a lot of these areas, and I've already learned how to recover from it and let your Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit renew and refresh and rebuild me. And I share that with your people today, not to discourage them, but to encourage them that, hey, it's not impossible for us to be overcomers and be victorious and to be offensive, to take the offense and take the battle right to the enemy. Instead of always being subjugated and beat up and wounded, let us win the victory today, right now, this morning, as we pray. May we determine in our hearts to finish the race, to get it back in it if we're not in it, but to finish the race, keep our eyes on the goal, don't look at anything else and not get sidetracked. And be like Paul, so thankful that you have apprehended us, that you got a hold of us, that you arrested us. We didn't arrest you. You arrested us, and now you want to help us finish the race. I surrender. Lord, I give up. I just give my heart to you. You do what you want to do in me. And help me to be a better Christian than I've ever been before. Help me to know how to follow you more clearly. And help me to finish the race well. If you prayed that prayer, just say with me, amen.
Amen,
amen, Pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Run the race. Get in the race. Finish the line. Go across the finish line. We do that. God bless you.
For more information about Christian Worship Center, visit us on the web at www.cwczilla.org. We'd love to see you in person at 204 Shane Road, Zilla, Washington, 98953.